Welcome, everyone. We are here with Summer's brother.
That's right.
I am your host, Lorena, and we are here with Connor, Thomas, yes, and
Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb. I was like, is my accent gonna creep out?
I like that.
Caleb.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna call you Caleb now.
Yeah. Everyone to go to or Mexico Caleb. Anywhere, they're like, what's Caleb. Your name? Like Caleb. They're like,
Caleb.
Huh? I'm like, Caleb. Oh, Caleb.
Oh, I know who you are.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna start calling you that now.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it sounds nice.
I like that.
And there are a few Calebs down there. So.
Okay.
Yeah. We have one more.
Yeah.
You're officially reborn. Yeah. A blonde Mexican.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
A Mexican Viking.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't seen one of those before. Wow, that's a first.
So I'm really happy you guys are here. This is my first with three people besides me. I've only done one-on-one.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting.
Definitely.
I know a few things about why you are called Summer's brother.
Uh-huh.
But if you can tell that story to whoever's listening and watching us out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, my sister's name is Summer.
Mm-hmm. And so you've always been... yeah. You've always been... referenced as
Summer's brother. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I'd be playing a show in Kelowna, you know, with some other band, and it's like sold out show and it feels so cool and accomplished, and then, you know, someone will come up to me and be like, oh my god, and I'm like, thanks, you know, and they'll be like, you're Summer's brother. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I guess I am, aren't I? Yeah, so might as well just like lean right into it. Yeah, exactly.
How does your sister feel about it?
Oh, she loves it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She'll take all the credit. Why not?
How did you start about like, you know, doing the whole like clown face and
yeah,
and why was that like, why did that happen?
I think that was very gradual. Like at the a couple years ago, I really wanted to do makeup stuff, you know, like David Bowie kind of. So it started very glam, and then I feel like the more shows I did, the more makeup got put on. And I remember having this dream where I saw this guy playing in a record store and he had a bunch of makeup. It wasn't exactly clown makeup, but there was like a green triangle on one eye, and then there was like a yellow rectangle on another, and then there was a circle. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's so cool. Like, there's no way that he could be ignored. He's just like so cool and so weird. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe that's the move, is just to be like so out there that you can't be ignored.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll do that. Maybe that's my Paul McCartney moment with Let It Be. It's like
deciding to put a clown face.
Yeah, exactly.
And how did you guys get together? How do you guys know each other?
How do we know each other? Well, there's the music festival back in Squamish. I feel like that was like
the first time we met
each other.
Yeah,
like how long ago was that?
2020.
Yeah,
3 years ago.
That was very recently.
Yeah.
And they actually played in Summer's Brother with a different sort of lineup. Like Connor was playing guitar and singing, and then they had another drummer, a buddy of ours that we know, and then
Thomas was on bass.
And then I think Connor's more likes drumming and whatever. So like he started move that. So they moved around. They needed a bass player, and they put a thing on Facebook. And I knew Connor from the festival that you were talking about. I remember seeing him, like, I felt like he kind of shined at that. It was like a little festival on the beach, like that our friends made. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of like took it off and was just singing all night and doing, that's the first time I really seen him kind of go off. And then I seen the ad and I was like, well, I know Thomas, I've been in bands with him before. And then I seen Connor, and then I knew the drummer. And then, so I was like, hey, I'll play with you guys. And then, so we kind of just got together for a little practice and
it was perfect.
Nice. <Yeah. laughs> And like after you messaged, was it like, okay, so now we got to see if this like works?
Yeah, because he didn't really know me. Like he knew me already, Thomas, but he didn't. So I think, I don't know if Thomas is like, yeah, maybe this guy's okay or not. Or just like, okay, let's try him out.
Yeah,
no,
no, okay, yeah, that Caleb guy, he's just kind of okay. Let's give him a try.
I remember asking, I was like,
we can give him a shot.
Like, I know you guys used to play in a band together, but like, why don't you? You know, I was like,
oh, are, nothing, are you guys... nothing because of him.
Yeah, I was like, are you guys good? Like, am I going to
start off with tension?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like right off the bat.
Just bring old band, like negative energy into the new one.
Yeah, exactly.
And where did, so you played before together.
Yeah.
What kind of music were you playing together?
That band was sort of, it was a pretty diverse mix of genres there, but I'd kind of call it like pop funk with like, some indie rock kind of vibes going on.
Rock,
yeah, sometimes.
Vibes too.
Yeah.
Were you playing the guitar there?
Yeah,
as well?
I was playing guitar as well.
And you were, what were
he
you
was on
bass. Playing bass, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called Seville.
Yeah.
But we have some music out, but, and then, yeah, that kind of died off and people moved around and reformed. And
as we do.
Another victim of COVID.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. One of many relationships that kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all sorts.
So you're like, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's,
that's absolutely accurate.
Yeah, I mean, babies were born, but also relationships died.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Babies were born, bands were killed.
Yeah.
And we all moved on.
Yeah, and now we're here.
Did
and
we?
Now we're here. Yeah, cheers to that. We're gonna. I haven't actually kicked this off with a nice cheer, so.
Perfect.
Cheers.
Salute.
Salute. Salute.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm.
So now if you
I like that.
Either remember or have it or don't, now you've officially tried.
Yeah.
It's on camera.
I like that better than tequila, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
that's way better.
Yeah. We're trying to educate everyone, trying to convince everyone that this is better.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I went on a mezcal tour at a mezcaleria and I forget where it was in Mexico, but it was, I don't remember how many different, like all the cream mezcals and everything. We met these guys and we just like, yeah, they have all these delicious cream mezcals. And like, I don't remember how many, not that I don't remember literally, but I don't remember how many, but we tried like so many mezcals. It was super cool. And like went on a tour in this big mezcal, like barrel, like vehicle. And like, he took us through the fields and it was pretty cool.
That's sweet. Was that just last weekend?
No, it
was, okay. Was a different time.
Me and my wife went there for like a month because her family's in Pachuca. So we went and we drove from there down to the coast and went around to Acapulco. No,
Acapulco. Yeah, maybe.
But then we like did a big loop kind of, so it was pretty cool and did the tour.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice. So you know you're a mezcal now.
Yeah. I really like this one.
This was really nice.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of hard to find like mezcal.
Yeah, I haven't seen that bottle up here before.
This is actually the first time, well, or this is the first bottle that I've tried. You know, I hadn't tried this one.
From here? You bought it here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of hard to get because people still drink more tequila than mezcal, but this is going to change. We're on a mission.
Yeah.
Which mezcal producer is paying you to do this?
Oh, I wish.
I believe it's
crazy. I wish. I wish. I really
Someone sponsor these people, please.
Yeah. I think it's a noble goal that is very mutually beneficial.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's no reason why a mezcal company shouldn't sponsor you guys.
Right?
Yeah.
We all benefit from a nice sip of mezcal. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys start off in music? Like, do you all have like musical family backgrounds or?
Well, I have a fairly musical like background. I'm going back to, on my dad's side, he grew up playing violin and then piano and then he played organ when he started training to be a pastor. So that influence has been there basically my whole life. A lot of classical music, a lot of
is
hymns.
Is he a pastor?
And, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does he feel about your outfit today?
Oh, I'll find out on the day this gets released.
It was inspired by him.
Yes. He's a really cool pastor.
And then, all of us siblings had to take lessons. So My sister did violin. So did my younger brother, although he gave that up after a couple of years. And then I did cello. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's a really good cellist.
I'm okay.
No. Oh, nice. Do you ever like play, like what do you play on cello? What do you like to play on cello whenever you play?
When I do play, my favorite has always been Bach, like the 6 cello suites. Mm-hmm. Before I quit lessons, I got through memorizing almost the first, like all of the first 3. I did like 2.5, let's say.
And how did those go? Like,
that's what do you mean?
Like, is I'm trying to imagine what it sounds like. Like,
well, I mean, the first, like the very first piece of the first suite is one of the most like common, you know, cello pieces that you'll hear. Like, if you see someone playing cello, movies. Like in a movie or something, mm-hmm. they're probably that playing that.
Is that the one that's like?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, actually, no.
Yeah. I played that one for a talent show back in grade 9.
Nice. That's sweet.
Do you ever play like, have you ever heard, well, I don't know, you're fairly young. Mm-hmm. But you know who Nirvana is, mm-hmm. I assume. Have you ever played like something in the way?
I've never gone into playing any of those on cello, but one of my favorite like Nirvana songs or covers, I should say, is off that album and has a cello in it. So it's one of those ones that at some point I'll definitely get around to playing.
Yeah, that would be really
The Man
cool.
Who Sold the World, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that. That'd be cool.
And then how did you get into...
I think there's a picture of me when I'm like 1 or 2, just like passed out with an acoustic guitar on the couch. But then I was actually into...
I was drinking a lot.
tons of mezcal. Yeah.
But then, I didn't really, my whole family's been musical. Like my grandpa played the accordion and piano and my grandma was a good singer. And my uncle was usually like the life of the party. He had like a songbook, like 3 inches thick and everybody's be jamming. And I remember falling asleep to my parents, like parties at the house and like playing acoustics in the kitchen and drinking and all that kind of thing.
Sam.
And then I was actually a baseball player for 8 years, like a pitcher. And then when I was younger, I wanted to be like a professional baseball player. And then when I moved to Williams Lake from Kamloops, it was not as fun anymore. I don't know. It was kind of like not the same. And then all of a sudden my dad showed me a couple chords on the guitar. And then he tells me, he's like, I came back the next day. And you like were playing all the chords and he was like, what the hell? And I was like, I don't know. I like this. And then I just kind of went from there and then they end up, they're super supportive. So they had a jam room in their basement and like they started buying drums and bass because my dad's been in bands. So they kind of, I lived like right by the high school. So like sometimes at lunch, me and my friends would literally just go across the high school parking lot and go through the fence and go in the basement at lunchtime and just jam and stuff like that. And then it kind of just like started when I was about 13 or 14, I guess. And just kind of like, yeah, fuck baseball.
Feel like
I don't know how swearing works on this. But.
Yeah. It works. Okay. It works.
YouTube.
Yeah, it works.
Take that monetization. Sorry. And then, I'm making a penny off this one now.
But then Williams Lake was, it's a nice town, but it was dead music-wise. Like I hosted a jam night there every Thursday for like 3 years, but it was just starting to feel like stuck and the guys I was with were just like not going anywhere and it wasn't a very good scene. And I just felt like started to feel like oh, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So then I was like came to Vancouver and then it was like I was going to like 5 or 6 open mic jam nights a week, like, and I was here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of ended up meeting people. And some of the first people I met actually was like Thomas and Nick, the singer of our old band, at that jam night. And then I would just kind of put myself out there more and started talking to them. And then like, oh, yeah, we need kind of like a bass player or something. And they were just kind of messing around jamming, I think. Mm-hmm. So I went over and in Nick's bedroom, just like sat on his bed, literally in his room. And we just kind of jammed. And then through them, I kind of met other people and kind of like snowballed from there.
Yeah, nice.
Was that jam at the 12 Kings?
No, that was Café du Soleil.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. And also, I knew another victim Chelsea.
Of
COVID. So.
Yeah. Actually, that's the very first time I ever saw or heard of Connor. I saw him performing back in the days when he had dreadlocks still.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Playing a song of his called Chocolate Jesus.
Right. That's not my song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, it's Tom Waits.
Yeah. I think Café du Soleil.
God damn it.
I think Café du Soleil kind of like connected a lot of musicians I've heard that I know of. And then
that's also the first venue I ever played in.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was 12,
I think the first venue I played was the Wise Hall when I still lived in Williams Lake. I was with another band in Williams Lake. And then we were called Tax Free Liquor. And then, and then the
as
band
a political statement or
yeah. Like we had a song called like, what was it? I don't know, something about free cigarettes or something. I can't remember. It was all about like, you know, fuck the government kind of shit. But,
yeah.
But then, yeah, they knew Chelsea, who's like a super talented, or Leo, sorry.
Yeah, the artist formerly known as Chelsea Johnson.
Yeah, Leo, and they met them and we stayed at their house and we played at the Wise Hall. It was my first show down here. And then I ended up moving down here a little bit later. And then, so it kind of like had a little taste and met a few people, then went back to Williams Lake and ended up moving down here and then getting in the scene, I guess.
So forgive my ignorance, but where is Williams Lake? I'm not
like,
from here.
Yeah, no worries. It's like 6 hours north of here, like 3 hours north of Kamloops kind of.
Okay so it's still BC, but
like central BC.
Okay,
it's a small town, like 11,000 people or something like that. It's
so you know everyone.
Yeah, like, and
yeah,
I don't like the town, but it's beautiful around the town. Like you drive any direction, you can go to a lake and camp and swim, and you know there's no lineups to go camping like down here. So that's part of beautiful. And I go back there to see my family. They live out of town in the forest, or they live in the forest. They live out of town. Like it's just nice. So it's pretty nice to kind of go back there, like stand on their deck at night, and it's just like dead silent. Like there's nothing. And it's just like the stars and like
Caleb
I like this part.
Raised in the forest.
And then you go to the town and it's like, oh yeah, that's why I left this place.
Yeah.
I guess everyone kind of might feel that way. Like I feel the same also from my hometown. So
yeah.
Yeah. And how did you start? Well, like, how did you get into music?
I feel like we have so many parallels in our stories, just like hearing what you were talking about, because like my dad was also a musician. He was like a drummer in a bunch of 80s rock bands. So like, they were called Simon Chaos. You can look them up on YouTube. Ooh. And there's this great video of them, playing in 1985, for a CBC show. And they've got like the hair and the pants and yeah, they're just the most like, they look like the photo beside 80s in the dictionary, you know?
Yeah.
So then he met my mom and then they had Summer and myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he was a drummer, always had drums in the basement and eventually, yeah, had to start playing. But I took piano lessons because we had to keep doing lessons. And then I didn't run the jam in Fort St. John. So I'm from Fort St. John, which is like 8 hours north of Williams Lake.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So even farther out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. But I also played the same open mic like every week for a year until I decided I was like, screw this, you know, like I need to get out of here. But
yeah, it kind of like hit the point for me like that where it's just like, am I not having fun? Like I have a jam night where I'm complete control, have all the instruments, have everything, and like the host, and we can do whatever we want from like 8 till 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why do I feel negative feelings towards this? Like this is amazing. Like, that's kind of messed up. So I was just like, maybe
you
need to change something
here. You don't like hearing Wagon Wheel every
oh man, that was one of the ones
for like years.
That jam killed a lot of like classic songs for me. I'd hear it, I'm like,
I do not want to hear Wagon Wheel or Folsom Prison Blues or Jumpin' Jack Flash. Those are the ones that are jam anyways.
Does that happen to you here? Has that ever happened to you here?
What, just like hearing the same song being covered, or
no, like feel like having that like negative feeling?
No, like that's kind of what brought it back around. I think it was refreshing coming down here. Like, so many more people that are like-minded and just love music and are just getting out there to play. And there's, like I said, I was going to like 5 or 6 jam nights a week when I first moved down here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like rejuvenated everything. And I was like, yeah, this is way better.
And then like, how did you decide that you were like, that you clicked? Or was it maybe not a decision? Was it more like, okay, like we vibe together and this is like,
Sorry, so
this might, this might not.
Yeah, this is gonna break the band.
Yeah. Did we click yet?
Yeah, I think we do. Pretty sure we do.
Well, yeah. I've always known that like Connor and I click. Like the very first time we really met, we had these extended jams. Like this is at the music festival that Caleb was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Which
was more of an open jam where people did drums.
On a blanket on the beach by the river.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, me, Connor, and another guy whose name is Jimmy, we had like a couple 20-minute long jams just going off.
Yeah, that was insane.
I think the chemistry musically from there has been pretty obvious. It's like once you, if you have one of those with a complete stranger, mm-hmm. chances are you're going to have a pretty good time like playing every time you really just kick loose a little bit and, mm-hmm. and go for it. So I think as a whole, we should have a pretty easy time like with more practices, just getting the chemistry going more so.
Yeah, I'm just hanging
it's like
out.
every show we play, we get better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And we just sort of started kind of writing more together.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they're already more were like your songs, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mm-hmm. play them and kind of working on newer stuff more recently. And so we're still kind of like
feeling it
going
all
through
out.
It
we're
all, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We're still in our honeymoon phase.
And how did you, like, how does working now together, like writing songs, work for you? Like, how do you approach it? Do you sit down and has it been more like spontaneous? Is it more like we should start writing now and then you just, you know, assign tasks or?
Yeah, I feel like, at the beginning I had a bunch of songs saved up because I also play drums in like another band and, you know, I'm just not really like the main songwriter in that band. So I was just kind of like, got to start something, play my songs. Mm-hmm. At least the songs that are like more different, more alternative,
mm-hmm.
More dangerous. So like at first it was like showing the guys like, oh, these are my songs.
Mm-hmm.
But lately me and Thomas have been writing a ton, which mm-hmm. is awesome. Just like getting together in the room with acoustic guitars, having a chord progression, you know, he'll play a progression. Usually the way that me and Thomas work is that you'll bring in a song that has like 10 progressions and then they're all amazing.
Yeah,
and I've got to be like,
parts.
Okay, let's try this for a verse and then this for a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And and then like writing lyrics and stuff. It's pretty collaborative. Like we've even just done jams too, where the three of us will be in a room and just like start playing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start singing a melody. Usually it sounds like gibberish because it is that's my favorite way to write melodies, I guess, and vocals
just and music. Literally like is it like just gibberish, like have you ever heard of Sigur Rós?
Yeah.
Mm. You know how they're just, you know,
yeah,
saying nothing.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Oh, and it's a lot like that. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Or like it'll just be a lot of times the best stuff I've written is when it's literal nonsense but like real words, you know. So it'll be like we'll be playing a song and I'll just be like, oh, Thomas with the cheetah print jacket, yeah, got the 33 acres of sunshine, you know, like and then
it's like finding melodies.
Yeah exactly. And then like I'm looking at the glass at the Santa hat and it's blowing my fucking mind. You know, like, so there'll be like kind of a mix of freestyle. And I was like, oh, I kind of liked how the end of that line said, that's blowing my fucking mind. Like, that's a cool line in a song. Let's keep that. But, you know, and then you figure out what stuff you want to keep. But a lot of times, like those ridiculous things that sound like it's not going to work, you look back and it's like,
it kind of does work.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard somebody say that in a song before. Like, I really like that, you know? Yeah.
Okay, nice, nice. And do you ever have, like, moments of, like, I feel like this sounds, like, really cool, and then you guys are like, nope.
Like, not yet.
That sounds
terrible. Yeah, so far we haven't had too much of an issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's like, I think all of us are willing to, like, you know, play something for the sake of, like, you know, getting the other person's idea out.
Yeah, like, so like
even
it.
Yeah, so, like, even if it's not necessarily our favorite, it's like, we'll, you know, give each song, like, a good try, and, like, try and just play them as well as we can and find a way to make it a little bit more, make it sort of suit ourselves a little bit better, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like,
totally.
Freedom to write your own part and all that sort of thing can really make a... can really make the difference if there's material that you're not quite jiving with, just like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one wants to play a song that you don't like. I don't want anyone to play a song they don't like. You know, it's like as somebody who like
begrudgingly like
even if I like write a song front to back with the chords and lyrics and melody, and I don't mess, you know, I don't want these guys to be like, well, this is the part. I guess I gotta play the part. It's like,
God. I kind of like how you said you guys got together like with acoustics. I think I might write better with that because it's kind of hard for me when we're in the jam space. Everything's so loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, say Thomas is playing something and it's just like, well, I don't just want to like start, what about this? And it's like, how can, like, it's hard to come up with parts together. Like, mm-hmm. when... like, how to be like, wait, it's my turn. What about, like,
or to be like, wait, do that again. Stay with that, you know? And
yeah, like, maybe for me, for writing would be better, maybe, like, an acoustic environment, even if I'm playing acoustic guitar, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it's kind of hard. Because if someone else is just kind of, like, playing, like, I'm sort of, like, more... not what's the word, laid back, or more like quiet or shy. I don't know. So it's like someone else, like Thomas is playing this and they're playing something. And it's hard for me to be like, wait, what about this? Stop.
I'm not
that kind of person. So like, I'll just be quiet and go along with it, which I'm trying to work on that to be more vocal in that way for sure too. But
just have more mezcal. Okay.
Exactly.
Just bring a bottle to every jam.
Yeah.
Hey, wait.
Yeah.
Hey. Thomas, shut up.
I got something. I'm a genius. Hold on.
The Jagger told me to play this.
Yes, exactly. Are we allowed to have a...
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Totally. You totally are.
I don't want to be a bad guest.
I think it turned me into a Jaguar one time because with another band, we toured. Not literally, but like, I toured Mexico like 3 times with another band, and I did the mistake of like doing lots of shots of the mezcal. I didn't really respect it, and then I drank like 12 beers as well. And then I was on the street just like, just like,
my, you were just
like, dude, you were a Jaguar last night. I was like, really? I don't remember that part.
You need to respect it.
Yeah, that's after that night, because like there was other things that happened to do with like vomiting when I woke up the next day. And I was like, I didn't respect the mezcal, and ever since then I was like, have way more respect for it. To be
the worst hangover of my life was from first, like, probably caused by the mezcal that I had like towards the end of New Year's Eve at the beginning of the year. That was a terrible day.
If you don't respect the mezcal doesn't respect you.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, it's kind of hard to get, like, it doesn't really give you a headache, like tequila. So.
Just threw up a lot.
Yeah, like you can just sip on it all night and I don't really feel bad the next day or anything.
Yeah,
it's kind of like any medicine, like plant medicine, basically, right?
Yeah,
you respect it and treat
it'll,
it and don't overdo it
well.
And don't treat it like some party drug thing, you know, just
to the respect of the plants. Yeah, exactly.
Going from let's respect it to
let's get fucked up.
And how did you like, or how do you get your inspiration going to write? How do you feel it? Like, do you start? Does it just happen? Like,
no.
Or do you
no,
try to like
doesn't.
Kind of
it's
feel
like,
it or feed it?
Yeah, I feel like it depends on the intention. You know, like in the past, we've more like set the intention to go in and be like, hey, let's get together this Tuesday and work on a song, mm-hmm. you know, and that way on your way to Tuesday, you're like, cool, like, let me start thinking of some ideas. And mm-hmm. you're kind of approaching life as a songwriter, which is different than if you're like, oh, let's meet up this Tuesday and practice. And then we're playing a bunch of songs. And then it's like, by the way, I got this thing mm-hmm. and I am super self-conscious and scared to show you, you yeah. know, where it's like, if you say let's write, it's kind of giving everyone permission to just be, you know.
Yeah. It's a lot freer. It's a lot freer to do that. Like this last week, we wrote a song like, mm-hmm. in one session, and it was like, I wouldn't have felt comfortable bringing those song ideas like in like during the middle of a practice,
yeah,
or something like that. It's just sometimes, and this is something I've noticed with other bands as well. Mm-hmm. It feels very abrupt sometimes when you're in rehearsal mode to try and just introduce something out of the blue because people are trying to focus on pre-existing stuff.
Yeah.
So learning, like switching into, you know, figuring out something you've never heard before and try and make something out of it can be a little bit of a tough transition. Okay. Like if you just happen to have a jam and then start throwing out ideas, that can work.
Yeah.
But so far we haven't done too much of that. We try and stay pretty on task when we're going in for like a practice.
Yeah. The only exception is if we do a jam where like we're just improvising, somebody, you bring out a chord progression, maybe you've written it or like you've been playing it for a while.
And, yeah.
You know, you start playing it. And then, or maybe you've got a bass line or something, and then, you know, we play the same chord progression for like 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and then we usually end it as like,
that was good.
That was cool. and then I was like, should we record that? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, we should record that. Yeah, it's like, and then it's like, do you have another progression that works with that? It's like, maybe. And then, like, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll be like, that's the perfect thing, but most of the time it's like,
No,
maybe not that. Mm. And then it's like, well, now I'm just insecure because I just really put myself out there. And then it's kind of like, okay, let's just record it and then we'll mm-hmm. move on.
And then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then if we're stuck for material, then we can go back to mm-hmm. it and be like, oh, remember that thing? That was really cool.
Yeah, it's always nice to have prompts to bring out every now and again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you just work, like, do you work in, like, having... or creating like new sounds, not like with the instruments, but like something specific for a song?
Yeah, actually a great example is when we were in the studio recording Misinformation. Mm-hmm. That's the song that just came out.
I did want to talk about it.
Yeah, so we recorded Chips for the snare.
Yeah. Andy was here yesterday. He talked about it.
Oh, like, that's awesome. Chips. Oh, I love that.
And you bought like different chips. And then you were just like, and I was like asking, like, were you opening them or like crushing them or what were you doing?
We tried both.
So, yeah.
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 It's our most viral video to mm-hmm. date. It's got like over 700 likes, which sounds like nothing, but to me it means
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's 700 people.
But
agreeing that they like.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like keeps you looking tips. Like, well, what do these all sound like actually? I want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. For audio nerds, it's great. Because I don't know. I was listening to the snare sound and I was like, it's good, but it doesn't have bite. You know, I just want
literal bite.
Yeah.
It needs a you know, it like, so we tried some stuff. I'm like, what if we just recorded Chips, man? Actually, I'm pretty sure I thought of it like way before. And I was just like, this is going to make great content. This is going to be great for the sound. This is going to be super fun. And it was all of those things.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then how did you get into, like, how did you get Jensen? To do them.
Oh, yeah. The Ted mastery. Jensen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Andy knew him. He doesn't know him, but Andy goes through Sterling Sound for a lot of things that he works on. Mm. So he got Ted Jensen, who did like American Idiot and Hotel California and Some Girls from the Stones, which is like only three. And it sucks that in a bio, you can only add like three names in brackets because mm-hmm. he's done like thousands of albums.
Yeah. You know? And many of them Grammy nominated and mm-hmm. Grammy award winning.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like my the albums that I own are mastered by Ted Jensen. Nice. You know, like that's really cool. I can go to my CD collection and be like, My Chemical Romance, Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
And then it says his name like printed on the back from the copy that I bought when I was, you know, like 12.
You own CDs? Yeah.
What do you have against that?
Yeah. I even have like the album, the record that he mastered too. Mm. And it's the original version. Because some girls, when they made the album cover, they used the faces of like Marilyn Monroe and like a bunch of famous people. Mm-hmm. And then they got sued for that. So they had to change it. So now the more like modern ones are all of the Stones faces.
Yeah.
It's all the band members.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like some of those Beatles covers from back in the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the early days.
Yeah, so I have one before the change. And it says, like, in the old gnarly paper, mastered by Ted Jensen. I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, it just makes me happy. I don't know. I don't know if it affects the sound, but it makes me like it more.
Well, I guess it does. Like, there are, like, specific masters, you know, for that reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have an educated ear.
No, me neither.
To be like, oh, this is a Ted Jensen kind of master.
Yeah, exactly.
Or this is, you know, John Williams, I don't know, whatever.
It's just like the way that it feels. I feel like mastering is more the way it feels, and the mix is more the way it sounds, I guess.
Yeah. And if the mix is super good, I think the master does less to it, maybe. If you have a super good mix, then I don't think the mastering has less work to do, maybe. Mm.
Well, what I've heard some engineers say is like, it basically amplifies the mix. If you have a really good mix,
yeah,
it's
sometimes
make your
it's
mix
like, yeah, it sounds the same but louder. But
exactly. If you have a really bad mix, it's gonna make your bad mix sound worse.
Yeah,
essentially, it's just gonna put a microscope on like everything.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like so much of the technology now for just recording and doing everything is just so much more reliable than it used to be. I've heard from a couple different places that basically it's like mastering is literally just making something like making everything louder and that's it. Like Rick
Rubin. That's true though, you know?
Yeah, but like as far as I can tell, it really depends. Like, I mean, Rick Rubin seems to just go with just getting a flat, like everything louder for a lot of his stuff now. And that seems to work pretty well. Then others, it's a little bit more of an art. It seems though that like back in the day, it was even more so of an art to like get a good master.
Yeah.
So
it's harder.
Well, cause I think that's where it comes into. Like if there's something messed up in the mix, like the master can't fix that.
No.
Depending on what it is, they can like how someone explained it to me. I don't know if it's 100% right. It's like, I think maybe I said to you, it's like a car. Like you go get a car, you get it washed, you get it wet or you get it washed and cleaned and all shiny and nice. But then that's the mix, but then the master is like waxing the car and making it all shiny and nice looking.
Yeah.
Like an analogy, maybe. So,
yeah.
I don't know if that's 100% right. Or not.
I know that there are some like there are engineers that are watching.
Yeah. Like, dude, you're fucking
everything
stupid.
That's been said for the last 5 minutes. Yeah. There's a mastering engineer watching this, being like, "Oh my god,
they're dumb." And we're like, "We're not dumb. We're just
exactly.
What do you mean we're dumb? We're musicians.
They're
that's
yelling
just
at the TV. Like,
I'm not even a musician. So I can be dumb. It's fine. This is my show.
Yeah. Exactly. It's my show. Be as dumb as I want.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to watch it.
So. Joe, is that you?
Yeah.
But really, nobody's right. Nobody's wrong because it just comes from your own perspective, right?
So I guess. Like, I mean, unless it's
everyone's right and everyone's wrong.
Yeah. Or both. I mean, there is a thing called facts, but you know.
That's just the plant medicine talking.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But speaking of facts and non-facts, you wrote Misinformation, or was that a collaborative? Was this before you guys got together?
It was before we got together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Definitely. It was written before we got together. And then I wrote it with a roommate of mine after I indulged in some of my own plant medicine.
Acid a plant medicine?
So was that video actually has truth to it?
Oh yeah, okay. That video is 100% true. Yeah, I did a little like me and Julie, my wife did like a document, like a mini documentary on Reels and TikTok, kind of explaining the story. But yeah, I came home and my roommate was playing the chord progression, and I was just like listening to all this music that sounded like it, you know, like I don't know, Steve Lacy and Mac Miller and just a lot of this like kind of jazzy hip hop kind of stuff. And but I just didn't know how to write any of that. I just like always tried, but everything just sounded wrong. And so he wrote the chorus to that, and I just wrote all the lyrics and all the melodies, and pretty much everything is the same as like right then. So it took like years of me wanting to record that, and just, you know, not having the right band or not having the right engineer or whatever. And then Andy reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to record something?
Oh, nice.
So yeah, by that time we had already been playing in a band together. So yeah, like they put all their own spin on it and stuff. And yeah. And we also worked on lyrics at one point.
Yeah. We workshopped lyrics for a good half a day.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think like when they were in the studio writing it, I was worked super late and I got home late, and then I thought they would be out of the studio by then, and they were live streaming them in the studio. And I was like talking on the live stream, like talking, trying to figure out or like putting a little bit of an opinion about lyrics.
Yeah.
Like writing over live stream to try and find, like, well, what about this? No? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we did a live stream where it was like anyone can chime in for ideas on writing the second verse.
So which ideas did, were there any ideas that stayed?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It got changed a lot. Yeah. I think the second verse was originally like, you got the world in the palm of your hands, a big black hole we don't understand. And now like Julie also had a big part in that. Where we were like, oh, you've got the world wrapped around your hands. So it's kind of more like,
constraining.
You're constricted. Yeah, exactly. Because it's kind of about social media and about, you know, like the addiction to the phone and stuff like that. And and then there was some very specific other words that somebody we know named Garen, if you're watching this, hi Garen, they suggested, like, you know, it was something like, instead of saying it was like put if instead of this, or you know, just just really
a different
small
preposition, but then whenever you read it again, you're like,
that has more impact. And then instead of saying a big black hole, we said a cosmic hole. We were really like looking up on the thesaurus about, you know, like, how do you say, like, you know, like a gaping hole? Ew, no. And then, you know, we would just like be thinking of all these different like variables, and yeah, we're like, cosmic, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And it does kind of, like, I kind of realized a lot last night. I went to like a Bush concert last night, and I may have been on some the plant medicine you were talking about earlier. But I just watched like the singer. He came into the crowd. Sorry. And he's like running through the crowd. Instead of the people like partying with him, everybody was just getting their phones out. They're just trying to record him. And there's like, you see this circle of phones around him. I'm standing there. I'm like, we are sick. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with us? I was like, why aren't these people just like in the moment with him? And they're just like all trying to capture the moment so they can share it. Like when you're videoing something like that, it's not for you. It's so you can, it's like for your ego, I feel like. So you can be like, look what I saw, look what I did, look where I was. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with us, man? Yeah. Like, and like, I don't know, like every band, there's like,
you missed the whole moment because you're
experiencing it
busy
through their phone. I'm just like, take the screen down. He's right in front of your face. Are you stupid? Like, like he ran right in front of us, and he was like right from me to you, and he part of the people in front of us. He looked right at us, and we're like, fuck yeah. And it was like, we didn't have our phones out. We're just like in the moment. And I was just like, it made me feel sick when I saw this. I was just like, everybody just wanted to capture it on their phone. And I was just like, he's right in front of you. Like, fucking party with them. Like, you're not, don't film them. Like, what's wrong with us, man?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you had a way better time. Like,
yeah,
just
like in there.
Having a connection with the singer of the band.
Yeah.
Than trying to
One
film
thing I didn't like about every band that played last night, too, was just like, okay, everybody, get your phones out. We want to see your lights on. And I just stood there and I was like, Fuck off. Like, it's like the first two.
Well, bands. I mean, it's like modern day lighters.
It's a new.
Well,
yeah,
he's like, get your lighter, get your phones out. But I was like, no, don't tell people to get their phones out, man. Like, fuck off. Like,
they're already out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's exactly. Like, oh, you guys have been on Instagram the whole time anyway, so just turn the light on. And I was like, yeah, that's sad. Like, to me, that just makes me fucking sad, man.
Yeah. I think the first time I realized that I was filming a Kiss concert.
Yeah.
And then Gene Simmons was about to do the fire breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the torch. He was looking real cool. And he was about to, like, do this big fireball. And I was filming him. And then in my phone, it was just like a flash of light. And I just missed it. You know? Like, I couldn't even, because I was looking at my phone, it was just like, psh. I was like, oh shit. Like,
I was there, I swear.
Yeah, how did I miss it? Yeah, it was just so great. And I was like, man, I should have just kind of watched the show. I would have enjoyed that a lot better. Yeah.
That's like about misinformation. Like, we're just like, everybody's like giving you little clips of these spots in their life and just like, like, I swear people, like, in Williams Lake that see me, like, sometimes go to Mexico and I'm playing in bands, and, like, they see these little snippets, and they probably think, just like, wow, you have this amazing life, and just, like, not completely, like, think that's kind of what the song's a little bit about, is it not, like, and that's what I mean, like, everyone is just, you don't film things for you, you film them for everyone else to see, so yeah. They're just like, oh, look where I was, or look what I did, and it's, mm-hmm. It's kind of like...
But, like, were you there? Because, like...
Exactly, that's what I mean, like, I'm not, yeah. Watching somebody, like, the singer's there, and they're just like... watching through the screen, but yeah. It was like, move the screen, yeah. He's right there.
At least if I'm filming something on my phone at a show, which I do,
sometimes I'm not saying like, don't nothing, ever film.
Yeah, but, there's like, nothing wrong with capturing the moment, but it's nice to, yeah, I exactly. Also, I just like don't try to look at my phone while I'm doing it, yeah. You know? Like,
I think the worst was when I was at a Chili Peppers concert, the last one in Vancouver, And the guy had his phone out and he wasn't filming the band, he was filming this TV screen. So he's got his phone out filming the screen. I'm like, you're looking through two screens now and the band's right there. I'm like,
I think that was
fuck?
Me.
But I'm like, what pretty is sure. Going on here? Like, yeah, yeah. You're filming a screen with a screen. It's like, you're at the concert, man. What the
one
fuck?
One day before the concert, the drummer went to play at Guilt.
What?
Yes. Oh, yeah?
Chad Smith.
Yeah, Chad
Smith. That sounds like something
he'd
do.
That's the kind of shit that I would do. Go to the city and just randomly appear at a jam or something.
I don't
see if
know if
notices.
He was like, he went to the band and was like, hey, can I jam with you? Or like, was he friends or...
Yeah.
Because it was just like very casual. You know, like he was at the bar and he was
were
just
you there?
Like, yeah, I was there.
What?
And then everyone was taking, because I didn't actually, I don't know, I guess, like I saw him, but I didn't really see him. I was just yeah. Like, he just.
Like, this guy looks like yeah. Will Ferrell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he looks like Will Ferrell. Yeah, but he's not Will Ferrell. So, like, yeah. So I don't know. Like, I saw him, but I didn't really see him. I didn't really pay attention. And then everyone started getting their phones out once he was playing. And yeah, I was like, yeah. Oh shit, now that I saw
this is
him.
A big deal.
I was like, oh.
It's like, I saw him as a normal person, maybe as how he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Chad Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then I didn't see when he left.
That's
which
crazy.
Was kind of, I was like, he's yeah. Very sneaky.
He's literally one of my yeah. Favorite drummers
yeah,
of
he's,
all time.
He's fucking crazy. Like, yeah. He's in the best way, of course.
I can't.
But yeah.
I can't believe you got to experience that.
Yeah. I did. Take like a 15-second video.
Of course, you would have to.
I'm not shaming filming bands. Yeah. Like, definitely do that, but I'm just saying.
Please
like,
film and share us next time you see
yeah.
Us at a show.
God, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like at the Tool concert, it was kind of cool. Like people are just like, there's no filming allowed. Mm. Like even
nice.
The guy I went with, he had like a little GoPro and he just took it out like for 10 seconds and he went like this and some lady came across the aisle and was just like, no filming. And I was like, holy shit, they're on this.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's awesome. But then they like leave it to like, okay, now the last song you can film. And it's like, okay, yeah. Now you can all touch your phones. And it was like, everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
Of course you want to capture the experience because it feels good and you can look back on it and think about it. Like, I'm not hating on all that. I'm just saying like,
it just doesn't make sense.
Don't let
you're
it
like
take
the,
over
yeah.
Your present moment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
like, yeah. Don't try to capture it for later. Try to take it in now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Because
yeah.
It has a greater impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in yourself, not in your viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's even good. Like sometimes I look back at my phone, I'm like, oh yeah, shit, I went to ZZ Top. Oh shit.
Yeah.
If I
yeah.
Had filmed that, maybe I would have forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
So high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm glad I have video of like the Eagles when I went to see them. Mm-hmm. Was it last year or the year before? I can't
probably
remember.
The year before.
No, it was last year. Yeah, it was last year.
The year before was COVID.
Yeah, it was still COVID time. So yeah, I saw the Eagles that year, and it's like, I was never a big fan of them, but when Hotel California came on, it was just chills.
Oh, yeah.
The entire time, and I tried to film for a second. I gave up on that one because that song, I just need to focus on that one. Yeah, but yeah, I got a couple other videos, and I'm very glad that I have that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because maybe I'm like 33 and I feel weird, just like
shut up, old man.
And, put your phones away, kids. And I was like, fuck, am I getting old?
You got like a fly swatter.
Like even at the concert last night, I was like, my feet are going now. I'm just like standing too long. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah,
now I'm the old guy. What the fuck?
Definitely. Like, Natalie, put me on your shoulder.
It's like, guys, I hate to do this, but can we just sit down for a minute? No.
Yeah, I know. I like sitting down at shows.
What happened?
I mean, yeah, it's also good for your back. and yeah, your toes. And, so that song was written, Misinformation was written before you guys got together. Mm-hmm. So what kind of music do you feel you're writing now?
Kind of similar. I don't know. Like it always, it changes all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's cool about writing is that like not everything that you write needs to be released and not everything you write needs to be performed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's what's cool is that we can write like a lot of funky stuff. Like we did a disco song.
Disco-ish. Yeah.
We did like a disco. So I was like, oh, let's do like a Prince thing. You know, like, I was like, what if we just played like one chord? And it was just like, bump, 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 bump. And then we just did that for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I started trying to sing like Prince, like, ha, ha, yeah. And, you know, just like, and we recorded that as well, so that's in the bank.
Oh, we did?
We did, I think. No, maybe
it's not on my phone.
Okay, maybe it's on mine. Or maybe we didn't, and I just wish that we did.
I hope it's recorded.
Yeah.
And I think I'm opening up too, because like, the first one I came in, I felt like it's Connor's band and everything. Like, because I've joined, also done a joint other bands, so mm-hmm. I'm more newer to like writing with people, which is what I really want to do,
because
I'm always like joining other bands and learning all their songs, and it's fun, it's fine, but then it's just kind of like I'm just like doing this whatever.
Where's the creativity? You know?
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, even when I was looking through some of the stuff I had, and like, what fits Summer's Brother? What can I bring? And I'm just so judgmental about it, and I'm just like, no, maybe that doesn't fit, or like maybe this doesn't. Instead of just like, you know, Thomas will come to a jam and just be like, just play something, and then we'll jam it, and then it'll turn into something. And like I respect that. I'm like, oh, that's, wow, it's that easy. Just just come with an idea and play it, and maybe it'll turn into something. If not, then who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. We can
like
write a
I'm
metal
super
song.
Like kind of like
literally
like
just
shy and
literally
quiet,
just forget
so
that
like,
your bandmates don't know a thing that you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Forget that you're playing something that you've never played for people before, and just go.
Yeah, definitely. I've learned that with Chase the Bear a lot. That's the other band I play in.
Yeah, you also played the drums there, right?
Yeah, and sometimes someone will come in with, you know, we'll jam like a metal riff for 15 minutes, and it's super fun, and, you know, sometimes we'll build on that. We know that it's probably not going to be on a record, or it's not going to be played live, but it's a good exercise at the very least to just like, and it's fun to write. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I think I'm more free, like I've written my own music, and like when I'm just by myself, like in my spare room recording, and I'm just like, this is awesome. I have less restrictions because like, but I put them on myself, I think, you know what I mean? Like I'm feeling like I need to conform to something, but maybe I probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, is this
okay.
Summer's Brother enough? I don't know. Shit.
Oh, no.
No,
I have the same feeling.
What is Summer's Brother?
Even when I write a song, I'm like, is this Summer's Brother enough? I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's kind of what's cool about like this being a new band, you know? Like, because you kind of define, you're going to define on like along the way what Summer's Brother sound, what sound it is.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're thinking about, you know, is this Summer's Brother enough? I mean, if you say it is, then it is.
Yeah. Like maybe you just need to forget that and just like, let's try this.
Yeah.
And then if
exactly.
it works, it works. If not, instead of like trying to pre-label it Summer's Brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
I guess
is
it just
that?
Has to be like,
I don't know.
Well, yeah.
It's like, I think let's just try it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the best example of that is like that the Sweeter Dream song that I brought in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a ballad. Mm-hmm. And like I wrote it on an acoustic guitar, so it kind of sounds like a folk song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played it like that, and it was good. Like, it was fine. But then I just started thinking, like...
It sounded a little white guy with an acoustic guitar-y.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was just like, we need to change this. You know, like, so that's another cool thing is that things can always be changed later.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, okay, I like this chord progression, but how do we change this? Instead of it being like, dun, da, ba, down, ba, da, you know, let's go like, bump, 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 or, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about music. It's like, also can hate about it because it's like, can be so limitless. It's like, we can do whatever we want, but at the same time, we can do whatever we want. So, like, how do you pick?
How do you choose?
Definitely.
It's like, this is good and this is good, but like.
It's like, I really loved the punk version of that song, but also the ballad version was cool too.
Yeah.
There are some bands that put out like multiple versions. I'm trying to remember who it is, like someone pretty well known. Mm. And they put out like a song, and then, you know, a month later they put out the same song, but like the alternate version that they also recorded.
Oh, it's like a different
genre, you know?
Yeah.
Like, one color I really like on us as a band would be something more along the lines of like sort of a hardcore, maybe just slightly emo-ish sort of a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I think we lean really well into.
Yeah,
because like that's
alternative rock.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like that's something that exists in a lot of the songs that Connor brought to the table already.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully now there's a whole lot of different subgenres and different bands that have done different versions of that.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think there's an opportunity to actually really develop into something that I don't know. Draws from a bunch of different influences, but also brings people together who are part of already a pre-existing thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like funky emo stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like that's kind of the where we're at right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's no major chords, ever. Mm-mm. You know, like, only minor, only, like,
it's like
angst.
Uplifting sadness or
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be sad, but, like, you can dance
But yeah, but want to make
you
dance.
You know, like...
You're going to dance sad.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like,
I don't know if I've ever felt sadness out of any of the songs, but maybe melancholy-ish?
Melancholy.
Maybe
that's a better word for it. Yeah, it's not just straight up.
A nostalgic kind of...
Yeah,
exactly. It makes
like,
you
I've never
something.
Wanted to cry at a practice, so I mean...
Yeah, well,
that would be
I'm
a very bad
my
practice.
Job right.
Then maybe that's a you problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have feelings?
And do you... yesterday, I was talking with Andy about, like, how he... Well, he told me how he would ask people, like, whenever they're recording, like, what color do you see with this song?
Mm.
Which was kind of, like, it's a crazy kind of question.
Uh-huh.
But another producer also talked about, you know, colors and asking that question to, like, their the artist they're producing. So have you ever thought about that, like... As like, what color is, what kind of color would be, you know, Summer's Brother? What kind of color would be the like the songs?
Yeah, well, with Misinformation, I always see like blue, purple, like deep colors like that. I guess.
Yeah. What do you see?
I was trying to picture it. I don't know if I've got like from some of the merch you made, and I was just seeing rainbows of all the colors and trying to figure out which one.
Yeah, true.
But for some reason, when you said Misinformation, in that exact moment, I don't know why green came to my mind. I don't know.
Really?
Why.
Interesting.
I'm not sure why. But.
What kind of green? Like a dark or a bright?
Like a medium green.
Like a natural green or something less?
Maybe like the plantish?
Yeah. Right yeah. Oh, okay.
Like
yeah.
underneath?
Yeah, definitely.
So not this one, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Perfect. Or like the bottom of the leaf.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, like a pastel.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean,
which, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just like, when you said that, and it just that popped in my head. So I'm just like, this is what happened. I don't know why.
Well, you're wrong.
It's blue, asshole.
Blue. Misinformation is blue.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that, like, you draw inspiration from, you know, you mentioned, like, a bunch of bands and music that you listen to. Do you draw inspiration from, like, a person? Like, have you, do you feel like you have muses around you? Mm-hmm. Or that you've ever had muses around you? And if so, how do you use them? How do you squeeze there?
Like, physically? Like, yeah, people that you've met and been around?
Not, like, famous, like, people, you know, that I admire, but, like, actual, like real people.
Like, yeah.
I've had that with my uncle, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
He was a big inspiration to me. Like, he's, like I said, he was, like, the life of the party, and he was super good guitar player and, like, just singing songs all night, and everyone, like, loved him, and he was, I looked up to him and, like, learned some of the stuff I still use today from him before he died, kind of thing. So he was definitely maybe one of those.
Same with my dad, actually. He's a big entertainer and is very, like, he's a very loud person. And,
like, those people, like, whenever you sit down with them or you have a conversation with them, and it might be, like, the briefest, most superficial conversation, but somehow you're like, that is a very, like, specific way of looking at that one thing, and and you kind of feel, like, you know, like, inspired in that moment.
I think maybe I had that, but it wasn't a conversation. It was at a festival, like, in mid-BC somewhere, and I remember just, like, seeing this bass player up there, and he was, just had this, like, I think his eyes were closed, but he was just, like, smiling, and I just got this feeling, I'm like, this guy is exactly where he wants to be or should be. And I felt this thing, and just, like, and he's smiling, and he inspired me as well. I'm like, I want to be like that guy. I want to inspire people. Like, he's inspiring me, because I can just see where he's just, like, lost, and he's just in it and just so happy, and just, it makes me happy. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to do. And, like, that kind of, just without even words, just, like, getting the feeling from him in that moment. And I just never forget that. And, like, that's what I want to do. Just like that. Kind of, like, inspire people to, like, follow their passion, and just kind of, like, without words, I don't know. It's kind of like this feeling where you can't explain. I don't know. It's just like,
it makes sense.
I was like,
yeah, it makes sense. There's some people that are just, like, that have that energy and can be able, like, are able to, like, transmit it.
I can't remember who it was or what band it was, but I can kind of see the image in my mind.
Yeah.
And it sticks there.
Like, thank you, mystery bassist.
Mystery, yeah.
Wherever you
Which
are.
Is funny, because I'm more of a, like, a guitar player, I think, first. But it wasn't about what he could have been, a drummer or a trumpet player. Or just, like, the energy that he gave off in that moment had that inspiration in it, you know?
What about Do you have Thomas? That person? Yeah. Or those people?
I've been trying to pinpoint people who've really inspired or made me want to be better, like, you know, to do what I do. And to be honest, it's one of those things. It's not very often that I come across those people. It's more like becoming fixated on sounds. It's sounds themselves that kind of drives my, like, creative like, self. Listening to a lot of different music, even if it's not necessarily, like, the best thing or, like, particularly good, it can just have a certain something, and I try and just ingest it and take it in as much as possible, and then at some point down the line, maybe I'll spit it out in, like, a different form, maybe I won't. So it's like, I really just take inspiration from a lot of the things that I listen to. So I try and just keep my ears as wide open as possible.
Yeah.
So I try and, you know, just open my ears up to as many different artists as possible. Nice. Sometimes it's interesting, though, because I'm not necessarily the best at, like, keeping on top of, like, who's new, who's coming up, who's hot, or whatever. That never seems to have been my strong point. But random things will come, like, across, like, you know, will come to me randomly, like, hey, about, like, someone.
Yeah.
And then it'll make a bit of an impression. Chances are it won't necessarily be what the person telling me about it was really talking about. But everything that I really listen to eventually comes out in some form or another. Mm-hmm. So that, like, honestly, like, what I was talking about before with, like, the emo or, like, the hardcore, like, more, like, still poppy, but kind of, like, more kind of aggressive, like, rock and all that sort of thing. I never really listened to that stuff as a kid, like, not actively.
Yeah, I mean,
but it was something that I would hear from time to time, and occasionally I'll just find myself playing stuff like that with no reference point as to, like, who really invented that sound.
Yeah.
If it's something that exists already. Yeah. I just internalize everything, and eventually it'll
spit
come out.
It out some, yeah. Comes out, like, in one way or another.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, a lot of my classical training and or, like, influences from earlier on will show up from time to time when I'm playing on my own, especially.
Uh-huh. That's what I like a lot about your writing, actually, is that, like, I can tell that you listen to classical music because you write really interesting things. You know, like what I was saying with having 10 different progressions or whatever. You know, I was like, I never would have thought to put, like, to change the chord on this beat. You know,
like very layered and like
yeah, it's like oh wow, like, yeah, you could just play that progression once instead of repeating it a bunch of times, and you can move on to something else. It's
like, how old were you when I met you? Like,
you and I first met when I was 19. I think I was 19 when you and I first met.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that blew my mind too. Like, you didn't even really hear much about Hendrix or any of that stuff till around that time.
No, I was like 18 when I first really got into Hendrix.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There were certain artists
you're all
I was
in
listening
the classical
to.
Stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
And like, I was just like, what?
Yeah. And so it's like, it's a really interesting experience for me, because so many of the people who I play with and hang around, they've been listening to all this stuff since they were kids. And in some ways I'm jealous, because that means, like, they've imbibed these influences that I'm still, like, actively trying to learn.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also like the fact that it gives me a bit of a different perspective.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
I can
never listen to Hendrix again. Like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
But I've also been, like, inspired that way from both of these guys in a way, like Thomas being, like, that young and how good he is at playing guitar and intuitive and all that stuff was inspiring to me to see, and I was like, thought that was awesome. And, like, when I saw Connor at the festival, just, like, giving her and playing, just, like, felt the passion. So it's like that sort of, those sort of little things also inspire me, just feel the passion of somebody else that I can connect with, and just, like,
yeah, like, be I there get as that well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, do other people get that from me? I don't know, but, like, I get it.
That's nice.
And since you've been, like, you were classically trained. Do you then, like, whenever you play, like, all of these many chord progressions, do you think of them like as stories? You know how, like, in classical music, there's, like, the drunk, the farmers, and then they have, like, their own kind of, like, instrument and line and, like, specific, like, you know, like, melody. Do you think of it?
Not as such, to be honest. Like, sometimes I'll come up with something and it's like, oh, this reminds me of, like, this person or this place or, you know, like this, at this sort of a vibe for sure. But generally, like, I do try to think of music as more of a storytelling sort of a medium, or I think the best way I can put it when I'm creating and I'm really just making things up is painting a picture. And oftentimes I don't know what the end picture is until I've just got everything out of my system.
It's a bit more abstract.
Yeah. So that can be a little bit tough in like jam situations or whatever, trying to write a song with someone else. Cause like I sometimes have a hard time focusing on any one thing. It's just like, I'm going to play this thing. And then I'm going to see what comes naturally after that. And it might not sound natural or good at all, but...
Yeah.
It's just like experimenting what you feel comes next. It's like, this works. Maybe that didn't work. Okay, let's try something different.
Because it's like, I tend to experience music in my head with a lot of visuals or with a lot of colors and all that sort of thing. It's something called synesthesia. Like, yeah. Coming back to what you were talking about with the producers mm-hmm. asking what color a song is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a very common, like, pretty common thing in musicians. So, like, sometimes I'll just get a certain, like, you know, just a little bit of a scene will start playing out in my head when I listen to a piece of music, and I'll try and, like, you know, move it forward from that starting point. So, like, mm-hmm. sometimes I'm playing and in my head it's, like, some, you know, some shit out of, like, Fantasia or whatever.
Me out when I was a kid.
Yeah. And a lot of my favorite music does that to me. Like, a lot of the classical stuff especially. I get a lot of very strong, like, visuals and stories and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's really, if I have a specific aim, because oftentimes I don't, I just play.
Kind of play what you feel.
Yeah. That's sort of the thing that I hope I can give to other people. Because, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's one of the things that's really, yeah, it's really given me life over the years, and mm-hmm. I hope that I can help other people find that.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. So what would you like to give to others as Summer's brother? Like, what are the plans? What are your future plans? Do you have any immediate, like, future?
Yeah, we're going to have a new single coming out in January.
Nice.
It'll be a cover of a Queens of the Stone Age song.
Oh, nice.
Song called Make It With You. And that was recorded like a million years ago. But yeah, I think it's time to put that out. That was going to be the first single. And then I was like, I don't want to do a cover for the first single.
Yeah.
So we did that. Misinformation instead.
Yeah, Caleb and I aren't even on it.
Yeah.
Years ago with other people.
Don't tell anyone that.
I think the next one is with other people. Mysterious musicians
who will never be named on this podcast.
Yeah. Some very talented people.
Extremely talented.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then we'll probably release another single, I don't know, February. I don't see why not, if we can record by then. And then probably do an EP, like, in March, February, or April. Maybe?
Yeah, or at least spring, that's the hope.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then maybe we should do like a release show at the Cobalt in April. I think that'd be sweet.
We're just making up our minds on the air, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. we're just planning this right now, but that's kind of...
I'm going to hold you to it then.
Yeah, yeah.
Add this to your calendar now.
And then, yeah, it'd be cool to tour the States. I really want to go down the West Coast and, you know, go to some of those cities and play to artsy kids in, you know, American towns. And, yeah, that would be really cool. Do some island stuff too, you know, go to the Okanagan and, like, some close places. I really want to go to Montreal and, you know, like, check out all those little satellite cities. It's really easy to tour around there because there's so many, like, cities. Where in BC and Alberta is, like, there's two. You know? It's like the two cities you can plan. But if you want to hear Summer's Brother in your city, call us now.
Yeah.
What's your phone number again?
250-267-4093.
Oh my god, he said it! He said it on the air!
Whose number did you just give away?
Yeah, exactly. That's a pizza.
That's place. Literally my cell phone number.
I can't wait.
You're gonna
If there was a missed opportunity? I gave him the wrong number and we missed out on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you're gonna get doxxed now.
Yeah.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, I'm not scared.
Bring it.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear the prank calls.
Within the next 2 weeks. He's going to change his number soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This might not be out in 2 weeks, but next month, maybe the next month.
Yeah,
we'll see. This was really fun. You guys are really, really awesome. I feel like, I really hope you guys stay together.
Yeah, me too.
I really hope, like, I feel like you guys do have a nice, like, a really nice energy.
Cool.
Yeah, and song's great.
Oh, thanks.
Sounds really, really good.
Thanks a lot.
So, yeah, hopefully we can hear more about, like, more of you.
And, yeah, definitely.
I can get to see you live. I haven't seen you play live.
Oh, yeah. We've got a show at the Wise Hall on January 26th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to open the show, and that's with So So Romeo and Tiger Really. Those are the other two bands.
Tiger really? Oh, yeah. Aw. Yeah. Is it like, as in, wait.
Tiger Lily?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I just got it. Oh my God, I didn't get it before, okay. But I got it.
I love
because
Tiger
the
Bang.
Logo has a lily.
You're but like, oh, Tiger. Now I got it. Okay, yeah. I love Peter Pan. That's why I was like, oh, it's like Tiger Lily. But okay. Wow. Awesome. So yeah, then we'll see you January.
Yeah, yeah. January 26th. Awesome.
Okay, so let's finish this with a nice cheers.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. Salute. May that's skills.
All right, yeah.
Yeah,
well, you guys
should
just, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
If you say so.
I can't cheers with nothing. Well, I mean, I guess I have water, but.
That's bad luck.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
Wait.
This is great. Mezcal.
Sweet cheers.
Yes, yes.
You could do like hot ones for mezcal if you want.
Oh my God.
No, like it's a different like type of mezcal for every.
That would be really expensive unless we actually get.
You would
sponsored.
Have. You would.
You would have to
sponsors.
Be sponsored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need sponsors.
Like, I just need enough for the cheers.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cheers to
cheers.
Summer's brother.
So much
yeah.
To the band, to the group, and to you. Thank you so much for having us. And to you as well, sir, behind the camera. Appreciate you.
And the cat, thanks. What's the cat's name?
Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Sam the cat.
Sam.